I have never done this before, but I am going to take off my coat. So I'm relaxed today, but I'm also hot. Our scripture passage comes from Ephesians chapter 6. You children will recognize this passage from this past week when at Vacation Bible School. Ephesians chapter 6, and I will be reading again verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. The last time we had Vacation Bible School, last year, last summer, was our first time. I preached the following Lord's Day on the same text that was our theme passage for Vacation Bible School, so that way those in the congregation who weren't there and involved could hear a little bit about what the children learned about, and we could actually just develop that theme a little bit more and bring forth more application to the congregation, especially to the children, and reinforce what they had learned the previous week. And having done that before, I thought it would be a good idea to do the same thing this year for similar reasons. And since in our preparations for the Lord's Supper, we are going to be considering the fifth commandment anyways, honor your father and mother, it seemed fitting to have a couple of sermons on the fifth commandment. One today, directed more so to the children, and then one next Lord's Day with application, further application for all of us, more broadly applying the commandment to all of us. So children, the sermon today is tailored for you. I've actually never done that before. I preached in church, and the sermon was directed primarily to the children. But you know what? I think that can be a very good and important thing to do from time to time. And I hope that it will reinforce some of the things that you learned this past week at Vacation Bible School. Though I trust that some of the adults among us and parents will also benefit a little bit as well. So, we'll be considering the text we memorized. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Most of you children have memorized that verse by now. But I encourage you to continue to review it, because it pertains particularly to you at your age and station in life at this time. Review it often. Remember it. But I'm going to urge upon you three reasons why you should heed this passage, you should heed this command. Three reasons. One, it is given uniquely to you. This command is given uniquely to you. Second, the command is meant to be a corrective for you. And then thirdly, it is a command that is given out of concern for you. It's a command given uniquely to you. It's meant to be a corrective for you, and it's given out of concern for you. So, let's dive in this morning. First, it is a command that is given uniquely to you. My children love it when I give them things. Do the rest of you children like that? When your parents give you things? When your parents give you stuff? And of course, it always has to be even, doesn't it, among all the children? If I give one of my children something, if we go to the store and I give one of my children something, I have to give everybody else something as well, don't I? But once in a while, I must confess that if I have just one of my children with me, and it's a dad and son day or a dad and daughter day, I may get something just for that one child. Just specifically for them, and I'll say, don't tell the other kids. This is just between me and you. And that's special when you are uniquely focused upon. Well, I want you to know, children, that in a similar way, God has given you this fifth commandment as a gift to you. And I know you're thinking, a commandment is not much of a gift, I don't think. But I want to assure you that it is. It's a wonderful gift given to you by God. This command is yours, children. This one is your main focus. And we need to keep it simple for children, don't we? That's important. It's not wise to give children many rules to follow. Any good teacher knows that. Not that the other commandments don't apply to them. But God says to you, children, focus on this one especially. That's why Paul in his letter says, when he addresses the children, obey your parents, and he mentions the fifth commandment. Because it is often the case that if you will follow this command, children, that many of the rest of the commandments will follow in turn. Especially when you are little and younger. Especially when you have godly parents raising you. Because by being obedient to your parents, you'll be greatly kept from sinning in many other ways against God's other commandments as well. Not completely, obviously, but it is a safeguard by keeping this one command to honor your mother and father, to obey mom and dad. It's like a fence that protects you from breaking against all the other commandments and committing all sorts of sins. And so God says, focus on this one especially. Now, I want you to realize that this is a command that's not primarily given to all the children everywhere, but it's uniquely given to the children of the church, to God's covenant people's children, even more so than other children. When the fifth commandment was published from Mount Sinai, God did not speak to all the children of the world. But he spoke to the people of God, and he spoke to the children who were gathered there as well. And there's something very significant about how the Apostle Paul addresses the children in this letter to the Ephesians. This is going to be, I think, helpful for the parents among us as well, and the adults among us. In Ephesians chapter 1, you will notice how this epistle begins. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and who does he address it to? To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. So Paul is writing clearly to the saints. Paul's not writing this letter to those who are not a part of the people of God, those who are outside the church. He's writing to the people at the church in Ephesus. Now, in chapter 2, verse 12, this is what he says about those at the church in Ephesus. And he's commenting about what they were like before they were brought into the church. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise. So he says, at one time, and having no hope and without God in the world, you were strangers outside the commonwealth of Israel. But now you have been brought in. You are strangers to the covenants of promise. And notice how he mentions multiple covenants, plural. The Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, Davidic covenant, etc. To the covenants of that one promise of salvation. And then, in verse 19 of chapter 2, in verse 19 of chapter 2. This is what he says to the people in Ephesus. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So he has clearly addressed his letter to the members of the church. And at certain points in his letter, towards the end, he will address specific members. And I mentioned that when we read it. He says in chapter 5, verse 22, wives, etc. I'm talking to you wives now. Chapter 5, verse 25, now you husbands. In chapter 6, verse 5, he says, bondservants, addressing the various members of the church. And what does he say in chapter 6, verse 1? Children. He says, children. The children are thus addressed as members of the church, of the congregation in Ephesus. They are the saints that the Apostle Paul addressed from the very beginning, which means those who are set apart by God, they are saints, members like the rest. But you know that many churches don't treat their children as members in such a way, do they? They are often considered outside the church. Did you know that, children? There are other churches where the children are not considered members of the church, but they're outside of the church. They attend with their parents, but they are not members yet. They don't consider them members till they are older and profess faith on their own. Now, some could argue that what Paul might mean is only the older children, right, who have personally professed faith in Christ. But he doesn't make that qualification at all here. He doesn't specify that. He uses the Greek word technon, which in this context would embrace a wide range of ages, from very little children to older youth who are still under the tutelage of their parents. The same word is used in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, where Paul writes this, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children." So the children embraces, even when a mother is nursing that little one. So we have no reason to qualify what the apostle means here. It is clearly a blanket statement to all the children of the church, and they are all considered members of it. Children. Those of you who are members of this church, and I trust those of you who are members of another church, you are members of the church. You're not excluded. You worship God with your mom and dad here, and you are members. You are what I would call, and others have called, the littlest disciples of Christ among us. When I was a younger boy, or as a teenager, at the Baptist church that I grew up in, I was asked if I wanted to become a member. But you see, that represents an unbiblical way of thinking. I should have been considered a member all along. In fact, at the moment of conception, the child of one believing parent is a part of the visible church and is uniquely in covenant with God. At the very moment of adoption, if a parent adopts a child, a believing parent adopts a child, the child of at least one believing parent, that adopted child is a part of the visible church. Their baptism publicly acknowledges that and admits them into the church formally, but it is a relationship that already exists. Thus, I would say that even my Baptist brothers who have not baptized their young children, though they are not formally members of a particular church, I would still say that their children are a part of the visible church, and certainly in covenant with God. And a lot of Christian parents kind of feel that tension, don't they? When they want to affirm that their child does have a unique status, it's not like the children of the world. They're going to be raised differently. And so what do? Well, they don't hold to baptism, but they want to have a baby dedication or a christening, you see. But you see, there's nothing in Scripture about that. What they need to receive is baptism. But whether a Christian parent recognizes it or not, their children are in covenant with God. That is how God has always viewed the children of believers. Now, I want to take you to one other passage, if you want to look it up with me. It's in Ezekiel 16 that I think really helps to illustrate this important truth. I think this is a very significant text. Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16, I'm going to read verses 20 and 21. Here, God is, through the prophet, rebuking his people for offering up their children into the fire to false gods. And this is what God says. Moreover, you took your sons and your daughters, whom you bore to me, and these you sacrificed to them, that is, false gods, to be devoured. Let me back up. You took your sons and your daughters, whom you bore to me, and these you sacrificed to the false gods to be devoured. Now, were your acts of harlotry a small matter, that you have slain my children and offered them up to them by causing them to pass through the fire? Listen to what God says. You have slain my children. They belong to me in a unique way. They are in covenant with me. You bore them for me, you see. He says they are mine. They are my children. He doesn't say that about the children of the world. Of course, we all belong to God in some sense. We're all owned by God. He's sovereign over all. But this is unique, you see. God calls covenant children. Whether they are true believers at the time or not, whether they are born again or not, mine. They belong to me. And so, children, you uniquely belong to God. You uniquely belong to God in a way that the rest of the children of the world do not. You have received His mark upon you. Whether you remember it or not, which most of you probably don't, you are baptized in His triune name. And you are raised very differently from the rest of the world. And you have been given a privileged position that you did not earn and you do not deserve to have. God has revealed Himself to you in a way that He has not revealed Himself to the children who are outside of the church. And God uniquely says to you, children, obey your parents, the ones I have given to you to watch over your soul. Heed them, hear them, listen to them, allow them to guide you through life. I have entrusted you to them. This is for your good and will do you good. Indeed, children, if you're in this room, you have been richly blessed by God to be brought up in a Christian home and raised by Christian parents. God, out of His great love, has placed your parents over you so that they are functionally God to you. They are in the place of God Himself. They represent God. They stand in His place. If your parents were to leave you for a few hours at your home and they were to provide a babysitter for you, so maybe another relative, another family member, etc., and they said, You need to listen to the person who's watching over you. They are your babysitter for these few hours. They are going to act and they're going to speak in my place. You need to obey them, right? Just like you obey me. Well, God, in a similar way, says, I'm going to take a step back, in a sense, and I'm going to give you your parents. They're going to be like the babysitter. And they are going to speak and act on my behalf. They're going to be concerned about you because I'm concerned about you. I'm giving them to you. And when you listen to them and heed them, you are listening to and heeding and obeying God Himself. And therefore, we don't obey our parents just because they are bigger and stronger than us, right? Sometimes children might say, I can't wait till I'm bigger and stronger and I don't have to listen to you anymore. That's a terrible, ungodly attitude, isn't it? Because one day you probably will be able to wrestle your father to the ground. We have to always honor our mom and dad. But we're not to obey them just because they're bigger and stronger, or just because they brought us into the world, or just because they are always right. Because you know what? They're not always right. Or just because they are always kind. Because you know what? They're not always kind. But because of the office, the position they are in that God has given to them. I will tell you, children, some children have terrible parents. Terrible parents. Parents that don't even love their children. There have been parents that have killed their children. We just read about it in Ezekiel. They offered them up in the fire to false gods. And you know, we can even think about the children at the time of the giving of the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai. That, think about this for a moment. When the law of God was given, honor your father and mother, we got all of Israel there, the parents and the children. And just a little bit later, well, that's actually for the next 40 years, what happens, it begins a little bit later, it lasts a long time, all those parents die. You know what? God killed them because they were such awful parents. The parents were so bad that God killed all of them. But you know what God said? You still honor them. You still honor mother and father. You children, you still obey your parents. And our text says, what does it say about children obeying parents? It is right, right? To obey mom and dad and others placed in charge of you, like grandparents or whoever else might be in that position. It's always right. Isn't that something? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's wonderful to know that you are always doing right when you obey mom and dad. You don't have to, you never have to guess or wonder. Whenever you obey mom and dad, you are doing the right thing, and you can say to yourself, God, thank you for helping me to do that which is right. It's so easy for you in one sense. In another sense, it's so hard, isn't it? But as long as their command is not contrary to God's word and law, as long as they are not explicitly asking you or commanding you to sin, it is right. So if your mom or dad tell you to lie or steal or cheat or anything else contrary to God's law, you are not to obey them in that. If they forbid you to pray to God, can you imagine that? If they forbid you to read your Bible, to worship God, to profess faith in Christ and follow Him, you are not to obey your parents in that. In fact, you are to disobey your parents in order that you may obey God first. But you know what? There are some children that are in that horrible position. Did you know that? There are children who become Christians and their parents are Muslims, and they will try to even kill them and they will persecute them. And those children have a really hard time of it because they have to constantly disobey their mom and dad because they have to place God first. When I taught at a Christian school one time, it was amazing. I taught at a Christian school down in Florida, and the parents and the families were not explicitly Christian. It was a very evangelistic effort. There was one boy by the name of Octavius. He went by Tito. And I taught Bible every day, and he came to me, and Tito was practically in tears. And he said, "My dad tells me to forget about God, but I know that I need to place him first." That's when you disobey your parents. But I'm very thankful. I don't know of any child in that position in this room. So even when our parents are not always the most faithful, we are to obey them. And it's difficult, isn't it? As we talked about at VBS, it's difficult to always obey immediately, completely, cheerfully, thankfully. How often, children, do you fail in that, right? Remember, you can't place your hope in that, even though you're required to do that, because you sin often in those ways. But to obey our parents is always the right thing to do. Even if you don't always agree with your parents' decision, even if your parents aren't the best example at that time, or not acting in a godly way, even if your parents have a bad attitude, which is wrong, it's sinful, even if your parents are yelling at you, even though they are wrong, it's always right to obey. Always. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Even in all those things, and so much worse could be said about your moms and dads, you are always to obey, for this is right. And especially for you, this is because more often than not, especially if you have Christian parents who love you, you are being helped in the process and you are being corrected to follow a right and godly path. Which leads us to the second thing to consider, and that is that you should heed this command to obey your parents because it will correct you. It is a command given uniquely to you, and it will correct your way. Our text, children, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord," right? And that is very different from those who are raised who raise their children in the world. Most children today are raised in the world, not in the Lord. You are raised and should be raised in the Lord. And this is imperative. This is what really makes the difference. To be baptized and to be a member of the church, to be a child of a believing parent, means nothing in the end. If the way is not made clear to you, and if you do not follow in that way, your baptism and your church membership will mean nothing on the day of judgment. You cannot say to God, "Well, I was baptized," or "I read my Bible when I was a child. My mom and dad were Christians." That won't mean anything. It's significant what God says to Abraham in this regard. One other text, if you want to look at with me, that I think is very significant, in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. Genesis chapter 18, and I would remind you, in this chapter, Genesis 18, this is after many of the promises that God has given to Abraham in chapter 12, chapter 15, chapter 17, about how he was going to bless Abraham and all the families, all the nations of the earth would be blessed in him. This is after giving the sign of circumcision. And this is after God told him that he would be a God to him and to his children. Now listen to what God says to Abraham. Children, listen to what God says to Abraham in Genesis 18, 19. For I have known him, that means Abraham, and known there means I have loved Abraham, and I have called him to myself, etc. He just doesn't know about him, but he has chosen him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. Now listen, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So in other words, how is God going to bring about the blessings of salvation? You know, God gave the promise. Now what, do we just sit back and relax? No, he says, Abraham, I know him. He will command his children after him. That's how the blessing will come. It is of the very essence of the covenant promise, the very essence of the promise of salvation itself. Parents, are you commanding your children? That's so important. They need that. And I trust you know when I say command the children to do that in a loving and gracious way. But nonetheless, we as parents are to command our children. That is a primary charge that's been given to us as covenant parents. To be that great, a firm source of authority that draws the line in the sand and says you will not cross it or there will be penalties. To lead them and guide them, prepare them by telling them what to do. You are to lead by example and also by precept, by commands. Sadly, a lot of children run the home. Did you know that, children? There's a lot of children, actually, that run the home instead of the parents. So that it's like switched. And whatever the child wants, the parent does. And it's like the child is in charge of what's going on in the home. And I know some of you children are thinking to yourself, well, I would really like to have that for a little while, to be in charge. I'm not going to say who it was, but I saw one child doing this. You know, I know you would love to have that. But you know what? That would be disastrous. Many children who have run their own homes when they were younger have grown up to be some of the most notorious and hard-hearted sinners. And many of them have miserable lives because they were in charge. And they never learned to submit to God-given authority. Thus, they never learned to submit to God. They never learned to control or restrain their sinful impulses and desires. And they just did whatever they wanted. And so their sins just got bigger and bigger and worse and more out of control until they made a shipwreck of their lives. Not that that can't happen to children in a strong Christian home, but it's a lot less likely. It's a lot more rare. Listen to what Arthur W. Pink said about children who are allowed to have whatever they want and do whatever they want in the home. Listen. It is of vital importance for the child's future good that he or she be brought into subjection. That means learn to submit and obey mom and dad at an early age. An untrained child means a lawless adult. Our prisons are crowded with those who are allowed to have their own way during their minority when they were children. And therefore, children, you should be so thankful, so thankful, so thankful that your parents do not allow you to have your own way. So thankful that your parents are Christians who are in charge and take charge and they give you commands. And when you do not follow them, you are disciplined for it. You should be so thankful they don't allow you to just do whatever you want, whenever you want. but they command you in the way you are to go, and they don't swerve from it, even when you rebel against them. And you should say to yourself, thank you, Mom and Dad, that you are in charge, that you take care of me, that you watch over my soul, that you are in control and not me, that you command me to do what is right, and you restrain my feet from the path of evil. It was amazing when I taught at a Christian school, as I mentioned before, and we had children who had parents who did not discipline them at all. And they were just out of control. They didn't respect. They didn't obey. And we would do things to enforce discipline so that they would learn to control themselves. And one of the things that we would do is, if a child was being disobedient, we would tell them, eyes inside. I mean, they had to put their head down like this, and they had to look down, and they weren't allowed to get up and play because they were being disobedient. And so it was kind of like time out, if you've ever heard of that. But I would be up front teaching, and if a child was being disobedient, I would just look at him, and I would do this. And he would put his head down. I might get trouble for this if this goes public. But there was one child that, yeah, I know. So there was one child who was really rebellious, would kick and scream and hit and all things like this, would not put their eyes inside. And I had to find a way to teach them to restrain themselves. They've got to learn to control themselves. They've got their will has to be broken so that they don't have their own will and their own way, but they learn to submit to the will of someone in charge of them. And so this one child, I had to be creative, but I told the child, sit down, now stand up. And they would do that. I'd say, sit down, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down, stand up. And they did this several times, and then the child broke down crying. And from that moment, that child was a different person. After that moment, the child was respectful and obedient, and the child loved me. The child loved me because I would discipline the child. If you don't discipline your children will grow up to hate you and despise you. Because you're not giving them what they need. They need the discipline. They need the commands. They need the structure. They need you to enforce it. Their will has to be broken because it's a lot more in line with Satan than it is with God. And that goes for all of our wills. The will must be broken. And so, children, be thankful when your parents correct you, when your parents discipline you, when your parents command you, because they do it out of concern for you. And that leads us to consider the third thing. The command is given uniquely to you. It will correct you, and it is given out of concern for you. As we learned this past week, children, this command is accompanied by a wonderful promise, isn't it? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may go well, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And this promise is in some ways especially geared towards children, isn't it? Because children, of all the other adults in the world, have the greatest prospect of having a long life on earth. In other words, what do we say? They have a long life ahead of them, don't they? In front of them. Now, children, do you want to live a long time? Do you want to live a long time? I know I do. I don't want to die tomorrow. I want to be able to continue to live a long time. But it's very important to realize, children, that's a good thing to desire. And the promise does relate to that. But it's important to realize that this promise reaches beyond that. It's meant to reach beyond this life to life eternal. Because you know what? Even if you live to be 120 years old, that's not very long in light of eternity. To live long on the earth does indeed mean this earth, but it also encompasses life in the new heavens and the new earth. As Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth, the renewed earth. And your obedience to your parents is immediately tied in with eternal life through Jesus Christ. Because you are being raised, trained in the Lord. You are being commanded by your parents not only to obey them, but the Lord, that you may grow up in maturity in Christ. You are being urged by your parents to believe and obey the gospel. Your parents have a great concern for you, that you will believe and repent and live for the Lord and inherit eternal life. You know, children, nobody knows you like your parents do. Nobody knows you like your parents do. They know you better than you know yourself. No one on this earth cares for you as much as your parents care for you. There's only one who cares for you more than your parents, and that's God Himself. No one else on earth even comes close. And right now, your parents are more concerned for your well-being than you are even capable of being aware of. Therefore, listen to them. Their words are words of instruction to you. Heed them. God is often speaking to you through them. He is teaching you through them, warning you through them. He is loving you through them. What a travesty it would be, children, if you were to grow up and get old and die, and then on the final day of judgment, when you have forsaken the way of the Lord and walked away from Him, and how you will wish that you had listened and obeyed your parents and especially heeded them when they said, believe in Christ, repent of your sins. I mentioned this at VBS, and I'll mention it again. If there is one thing I know your parents want you to obey them in, is that you will believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your sins. Do you see how intimately tied your obedience to your parents is to your own salvation? They're raising and training you in the Lord. Don't think of them as separate commands. Don't think of it, obeying mom and dad's over here, the fifth command, and salvation's over here. No, God is using them together. He's using the law to bring you to Christ. Look to Christ, children. Believe. Repent, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Let's pray together. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the covenant children that you have given to us that are in this room. We're so thankful, Father, for giving us these children and enabling us, allowing us to be stewards of these wonderful gifts. Oh God, we plead with you to work in the hearts of each one. Help us as parents to be more faithful in the future than we have in the past. Help us, Lord God, to train them and guide them and lead them, to be an example to them. And we pray, O Lord, that our children would heed our words, that they would realize that you are speaking to them through us and that your concern for them is great. So we pray, O God, that you'd work in their hearts, draw them to yourself, grant that all of them will believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and give them great grace to obey their parents in the Lord, for we know that this is right. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.